I'm going to speak to you tonight on the topic, the bait of Satan. The bait of Satan. I have given this, I don't know if this is exactly from that, but it probably is. I'm bringing you this lesson from a man by the name of James Moses. And but this, I've given this book. He has a book called The Bait of Satan. If you haven't read it, I encourage you to get it and read it. It will change your life. And if it doesn't, you need to pray through. Okay? Luke 17, we're going to read verse 1. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible. Hear what he's saying. It is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. Amen. You can be seated. It is one of the enemy's most deadly and deceptive traps. It imprisons countless Christians. It severs relationships, and it widens the existing breaches between us. It is called the trap of offenses. How many's ever been offended? Anybody ever been offended? To all you that didn't raise your hand, you're lying. Let's pray right now, folks. Let me ask that again. How many's ever been offended? There we go. Thank you, Lord. All right. David laments in Psalms 55, verse 12 through 14, says, for it is not an enemy who reproaches me that I could bear it, nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me. Then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man of my equal, my companion and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throne. See, they are those people. What David is saying, they are those people that we sit with and we sing alongside of in church. Or maybe it is the one who is delivering the sermon that offended you. We spend holidays, we attend social functions, and share offices with them. Or maybe it's even closer. We grew up with, we confide in them, and sleep next to them. You see, the closer the relationship, the more severe the offense. You find the greatest hatred among people who were once very close. You see, selfishness, folks, reigns in our society today. Men and women today look out for themselves to the neglect and to the hurt of those people around them. Now, this should not surprise us, though. See, the Bible is very clear that in the last days, men will be, in 2 Timothy 3:2, lovers of themselves. Come on. Anybody see that happening? You see, we expect this in unbelievers. We expect this kind of behavior from unbelievers, right? But Paul was not referring to those outside of the church. Paul was talking about those within the church. Many people are wounded. Many people have been hurt in the church. And many people are bitter because of the church. They are offended. But see, folks, they do not realize that they have fallen into Satan's trap. Now, I'm not talking about the ones that are supposed to be offended. I'm talking about the ones that are offended. If you've been offended, if you are offended because of something, and you have fallen into Satan's trap. Okay? We'll talk about it. See, it's our fault, folks. Jesus made it very clear that it is impossible to live in this world and not have the opportunity to become offended. Okay? Yet most Christians are shocked. Most Christians are bewildered. Most Christians are amazed when it happens.
I can't believe they offended me. I can't believe they did that to me. Really?
You see, we believe we're the only ones who have been wronged. The response leaves us vulnerable to the root of bitterness. Okay? When you have this kind of response, it leaves you vulnerable to the root of bitterness. So, we must be prepared and armed for offenses. So tonight, I'm going to try to help us here, folks, amen, in these next few weeks to prepare ourselves so we are armed for offenses. Why? Because our response determines our future. Come on. The response you take towards somebody, quote unquote, offending you, determines your future. Now, this is a trap, folks. The Greek word for offended in Luke 17 comes from the word scandalon. And this word originally referred to the part of the trap to which bait was attached. Anybody ever set a mouse trap? Nobody? Anybody ever set an animal trap? Or any kind of trap to get? You put bait in there, right? Well, there's usually a little place on there where you put the bait, and that's called a scandalon. All right? Or it's called offense. That word signifies a trap in someone's way. So in the New Testament, it is often described as an entrapment used, how? By the enemy. Folks, offense is a tool of the devil. Or let's put it this way. The offense is a tool of the enemy to do what? To bring people into captivity. Anyone want to be captive? You want to be captive tonight? Allow yourself to be offended. Okay? Because if you allow yourself to be offended, the enemy's got you in captivity. Now, Paul, he instructs Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 through 26. He says, "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient." You're a servant of the Lord, you have to be gentle to everybody. You have to be able to teach everybody. And you have to be patient with everybody. All right? Now listen, it says, "In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth." Listen to this one. Now, this is really good here. "And that they may come to their senses and escape," what? "The snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him," to what? "To do his will." You want to be taken, caught in the snare of the devil to do his will? Allow yourself to be offended. Folks, those are the quarrels or opposition that fall into the trap and are held prisoner to the devil's will. Even more alarming, they are unaware. Here's the thing. Here's the problem with people that allow themselves to be offended. They're even unaware of their captivity. Now, anybody read the story of the prodigal son? When did he decide to go home? When he came to his senses. All right? People do not realize they are spewing out bitter waters rather than pure waters when they allow themselves to be offended and talk about it. James 3, verse 11 says, "Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening?" So if you're spewing out bitter waters, you're not going to be talking sweet. right? So when a person is deceived, that person believes he is right even though he is not. Right? When you're deceived, he thinks he's okay. So no matter what the scenario is, we can divide all offended people into two categories, two major categories. Here they are. The first category is those who have been treated unjustly. The first category of offended people. And the second is those who believe they have been treated unjustly. All right? You got that down now? Put that in your notes. So people in the second category believe with all their hearts that they have been wronged. Often, folks, their conclusions are drawn from inaccurate information. Right? Or their information is accurate, but their conclusion is distorted. Either way, they hurt, and their understanding is darkened. They judge how? By assumption. They judge by appearance. They judge by hearsay. Right? So, their heart's true condition is one way the enemy keeps a person in offended state is to keep the offense hidden, cloaked, how? In pride. All right? Think about it. Now, what will pride do? Pride will do a lot of things to you, right? Pride will keep you from admitting your true condition. Everything all right? Yep. You sure? Yes. Pride keeps you from dealing with truth. You gonna go talk to them? Nope. It ain't my problem. Their ones did it. So you know what else pride will do? It will distort your vision. See, you never change when you think everything is fine. Right? Doctor tells you need to stop doing this and stop eating that. I'm fine. Then when you end up in the hospital, it's trying to change my diet. People that smoke, they tell them they should stop smoking until they have to have them inhalers or whatever it is, then they might start changing. Right? We think we're fine. We don't need to change. Everything's fine. Pride hardens your heart and it dims the eyes of your understanding. Pride keeps you from the change of heart or the repentance which will set you free. Okay? Repentance in 2 Timothy 2:24 and 26. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach and patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth. Verse 26, and they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So pride causes you to view yourself as a victim. Okay? So folks, your attitude becomes, I was mistreated. I was misjudged. Therefore, I am justified in my behavior. Do you think God is okay with that? I don't think so. Because you believe you are innocent and falsely accused, you hold back forgiveness. See, even though your true heart condition is hidden from you because of pride, it is not hidden from God. Okay? It is not hidden from God. Just because you are mistreated, folks, you do not have the permission to hold on to an offense. Amen? The old saying, two wrongs don't make a right. Right? So in the book of Revelations, Jesus addressed the church of Laodicea how by first telling them how they saw themselves as rich, wealthy, and having need of nothing, then by exposing their true condition. He said, wretched. He said they were wretched. They were miserable, poor, blind, and naked in Revelation 3. You see, they had mistaken their financial strength for spiritual strength. Pride hid their true condition. Right? They thought they were fine. But God showed them, because of your pride, this is how you are. You're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, and you're naked. And you don't even know it. Jesus told the Laodiceans how to get all out of their deception is to buy God's gold and see their true condition. Now let's look at what he's talking about here. Jesus first instructions for breaking free from deception was to buy from me gold refined in the fire, Revelation 3. You see, folks, why is God telling them to do that? Because refined gold is soft and pliable. All right? When you're trying to make something, you need something soft and pliable. And if it's not soft and pliable, you make it that way. How do you make steel soft and pliable? Anybody? Fire. Anybody ever watch a blacksmith? He takes that steel, puts it in the fire, gets it red, and takes it out with a hammer and bends it however he wants. So Jesus told them, buy gold of me. Buy from me gold refined in the fire. See, refined gold is soft and pliable. It is fine gold. God's gold is free from corrosion or other substances. See, it is when gold is mixed with other materials like copper, iron, and nickel, and so on, that's when gold becomes hard. That's when gold is less pliable. And that is when gold is more corrosive. All right? This mixture is called alloy. The higher the percentage of foreign materials, the harder the gold becomes. So immediately, we see the parallel. A pure heart is like pure gold. If your heart is pure, God can ply you into things. And when something happens to you, God can still use you anyways, if you don't allow yourself to get offended. All right? The Bible says that hearts are hardened, how? Through the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 3, verse 13 says, ye are hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. If we do not deal with an offense, it will produce more fruit of what? Sin, such as bitterness, such as anger, such as resentment. This adds substances, hardens our heart, just as alloys hardens gold. Is this making sense to you tonight? And what that does, when you add all these things, when you add anger and bitterness and resentment, it reduces our or removes tenderness. And then it creates a loss of sensitivity. Folks, we've all been around somebody that's had a lot of hurt in their life, and they can be very bitter. They have to. If you know somebody that's been hurt a lot and they're not bitter, they have worked hard at not being that way. Probably a lot of prayer. So all these things, when you add these things in your life, when you allow bitterness and when you allow anger and you allow resentment to come in your life, it hardens you. And then you're not sensitive to the things of God, and God can't use you. It removes your tenderness, and it creates a loss of sensitivity. And we are hindered in our ability to hear God's voice. You see, our accuracy to see becomes darkened. And this is perfect setting for deception, folks. Come on. If you can't hear God, you can be deceived by the enemy. The first step in refining gold, when they start to, let's grind it, let's refine this gold, the first thing they do is grind it. They grind it into a powder. Has God ever had you there, folks? Huh? Has God had to grind you up? And they grind it with this powder, and then they mix it with a substance called flux. Okay? Then that mixture is placed in a furnace, and it is melted by intense heat. You ever go through the fire with God? Huh? Those alloys and those impurities, they are drawn out of that gold to the flux. And when they connect to the flux, they rise to the surface. And the gold, which is heavier, remains at the bottom. And the impurities or the dross, such as copper, iron, and zinc, they combine with the flux, and then it is removed, and they yield, after they take that stuff out of there, they yield pure gold. Pure gold. Now, let's look what God's word says in Isaiah 48, verse 10. It says, behold, I have refined you, not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. Hear what God says he's going to do? I think it's better off not to allow ourselves to be offended. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 8. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. You see, folks, God refines with afflictions and trials and tribulations that heat up, that heat of which separates impurities, such as forgiveness, strife, bitterness, anger, envy, amen, and so forth from the nature of God in our lives. Anything that is opposite of God, opposite of the nature of God, God wants to get it out of you. And we wonder sometimes why we're going through things all the time. It's because God is trying to get rid of some things in your life that shouldn't be there. Folks, I'm telling you, it is so much harder to live life with frustrated and aggravated and upset with people all the time. Come on. I don't like it. I don't want nothing to do with it. I'm just going to love them anyways. Don't let God deal with them. I don't want him dealing with me. You can't win somebody to God if you're constantly mad at them all the time. If you're letting them bother you all the time, you can't win them to God. That's what the devil wants. He wants to entrap you so you do his will. And he keeps stuff stirred up in families. Family, why do you allow people to stir stuff up in your family, folks? Don't allow it. Refuse to be offended. Come on. Refuse to be offended. I always tell myself, it's not really them. They don't know who's using them. I know who's using them. I'm going to be mad at him. Come on. No wonder people die of heart attacks and all these kind of things. They get so much anxiety in them, and they constantly get sick and because they're when they're sick all the time and stuff like that. They get sick, get offended all the time. They get sick. Come on. That's why God tells us to love people. See, sin, folks, sin easily hides where there is no heat of trials and affliction. Come on. Unless that gold's heated up, that stuff's in there. And then when it's heated up, it's brought to the surface. And God will bring it out of you. So in times of prosperity, in times of success, even a wicked man will seem kind and generous. Under the heat of trials, the impurities begin to surface. So, what is your true condition? Jesus said, our ability to see correctly is another key to being freed from deception. Folks, you want to be free from, you don't want people to deceive you? Then you need to be able to see correctly. And you can't see correctly when you allow yourself to be offended all the time. And you live with that offense day in and day out. You can be deceived. I don't want to be deceived. See, often when we are offended, we see ourselves as victims and blame those who have hurt us. Come on, folks. Amen? And then we justify our bitterness. We justify our unforgiveness. We justify our anger. We justify our envy and resentment as they surface. And sometimes we even resent those who remind us of others who have hurt us. This is the reason Jesus counseled in Revelation chapter 38, chapter 3, verse 18. Listen how Jesus counseled. He says, anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. What's he want us to see? See what? He wants you to see your true condition. And that's the only way we can be zealous and repent, as Jesus commanded. You only repent when you stop blaming other people. I'll say that again. You only truly repent when you stop blaming other people. Folks, when we blame others and defend our own position, we are blind. Come on. Well, if it wasn't for this person, if it wasn't for this situation, if it wasn't for my parents, if it wasn't for this, you're blind. You see people sometimes, folks, are in the same rut over and over, year after year. Same old rut, but it's everybody else's fault. Come on. It's never their fault. It's everybody else's fault. Right? You only repent when you stop blaming other people. Folks, when we blame others, we're blind. When we, see, we struggle sometimes. We struggle what? To remove the speck out of the brother's eye while there's a log in ours. It is the revelation, folks, of truth that brings freedom in our lives. The revelation of truth. You want freedom? Ask God to give you a revelation of truth. And when the Spirit of God shows us our sin, He always does. He always does it in such a way that it seems to separate from us. And what that does, it brings conviction, not condemnation. See, you want conviction, not condemnation. When you allow yourself to feel offended all the time, there's always that condemnation. And you want God to convict us so we can get rid of it out of our lives.